and welcome to The Face Downs, your source for TCG news and all things Yu-Gi-Oh! I'm Lucas.
I'm Ruben.
And I'm Joe.
And today, we are joined by a very special guest. Host of the upcoming regional, owner of a store in Dunedin.
Inventor of Time Wizard format.
Yeah, the progenitor of old formats and a Cosmo aficionado. Please welcome to the stage the lustrous talents of Greg Mansfield.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right, first topic. Who's the real Cosmo player, you or Joe?
Joe. Yeah.
Greg, wow, we can spot that beef straight away.
Yeah. Greg was the Mecha Phantom Beast player.
Yeah.
Oh, the only reason we think you're the Cosmo player is because I think you were playing it at GC Champs, like the first time we met you.
No, Armageddon. Learned to play.
I swear you were playing Cosmos in like 2019.
Maybe it was GC as well.
Maybe. Anyway.
I don't actually know. I feel like I was probably playing Black Wings or something dumb like that.
Even worse. Great. Even
yeah.
Yes. Welcome, Greg. Greg is a very dear friend. We was one of the first people we met getting into the competitive Yu-Gi-Oh! Scene when we volunteered that one fateful Armageddon in 2019. Does anyone else remember conventions? Do you remember when large gatherings could occur?
I missed them. Something wicked.
Yeah. But yes, so today we have Greg. I'm here to chat all things Yu-Gi-Oh! And give us a little scoop of what to expect in this upcoming regional. But I guess, Greg, you're quite unique. You're our first guest who actually has continued with the game and kind of progressed upwards within the world of Yu-Gi-Oh! So why don't you let us know how you started in the game and where this love began?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, my love for the game kind of started back when... I guess a lot of people kind of get into it casually through the show, right? Me and my friends, when we would procrastinate in our IT class, we started chucking on Yu-Gi-Oh! For a little bit. And then that kind of progressed to us watching. Do you guys know the YouTuber Simply Unlucky? I assume you do.
Oh, yep.
Yes.
So we started watching his over-the-top reactions and kind of joking about that, which led to us buying a couple of boxes. And soon enough, like, there was an Armageddon Expo, I think one of the first few Armageddon Expos coming to Dunedin. And I entered that with a Blue Eyes structure deck. There was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Event there. I entered it with a Blue Eyes structure deck. Got swiftly destroyed.
What? I thought that was the best deck. What the hell?
Yeah.
That was tier 1 in Dunedin.
soon after that, I realized that there was an actual... Peter Bird was running hobby leagues around that point, just out of OUSA, which is where I met Joe. I threw together my first proper deck, which was Mecha Phantom Beast, if you can consider that a proper deck.
It was cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
I remember it. Yeah.
Can I get a top 5 Mecha Phantom Beast cards from you?
Oh, Orion is at the top.
Even in Pure? I thought that card wasn't that good in Pure.
Oh, no. Well, that card is crazy good.
Okay.
Supply squad, surely.
Yeah, the extra normal summon from it was great. So you could like do Mega Raptor and Tear the Wolf plays.
It has another effect, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. There were reasons why the card was actually played beyond just a LOL Hulk target.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. So I started doing Mecha Phantom Beast. Soon enough, I was trying to compete with Joe's weird Dark World BA deck.
The fabled deck, fabled, but
yeah. and then soon enough we were getting to the Duelist Alliance. I think it was like within a year we were at Duelist Alliance's release and shit all through a thing, and I was starting to get more interested in it. I started trying to learn more of the rules and stuff like that. Trying to be like an extra judge for when Peter wasn't around and stuff like that, I guess. It was how I was thinking about it in my head.
All comes back to Peter Bird.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, a lot of this doesn't happen without Peter. So I ended up buying a Shadow deck off Peter, and I think that was actually after a while. Like, I think my first regional top was actually with Yosinju.
Yeah, the first regional
I entered. Yeah, it was top 8. I had played with Yosinju, and I was playing Anti-Spell kind of before most people knew about the interactions between Anti-Spell and Pendulum Monsters.
The doors, Greg, open to the floodgate world.
God, yeah, you keep inventing things, yeah. Greg.
I'm glad you decided to pick up the one deck no one wanted from Secret Forces as well.
Yeah, was there a
particular... how much did it cost? $3.99, considering no one was opening that set except for exactly Brio.
Yeah, I assume you picked it off the ground when people left opening Secret Forces.
Honestly, I'm pretty sure, while I'm pretty sure I had a base from the boxes that I tried to open, using course-related costs, thank you, StudyLink.
oh my god. I don't know if you can say that.
Might have to bleep that one.
No, it's fine.
That's all good. I'm pretty sure YGO singles were selling bases for $5 or something like that as well. So crazy.
Just pay shipping.
I mean, it was really easy to come by. It was just a flood. The anti spells were the hard one to come by. I think I had the promos that they released in some video game.
Oh, PC Wise. That original nice. Prismatic Secret.
Yeah, they were pretty nice. I taught my first regional with that. And after a while, I bought the shit old deck off Peter and started playing with that a bit. But I can't remember all the details, but there was an event that I played at with shit olds, and then I was kind of like, all right, well, I think I'm finished with this deck now.
I think I remember the one, actually. It was the LLDS back in Dunedin when I think you got into top four. Right. And it was Clown Shadows. It might have been Brandon or someone in the top four. Or James Mack or something on the other side of the bracket to me. Because I remember whoever you lost to, I faced at the final. But yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
Yeah. No, that you remember more than I do. But yeah, so I decided the next day I was going to sell that deck, and so I did. I'd arrange someone to buy it, and just waiting for the transfer, like you often do, and then overnight, boom, shit all constructors banned. So yeah, didn't go through. I was stuck with my deck.
Oh, you went back? You actually let him take it back?
He didn't. He didn't transfer. So it was
And that person's name was? No, just kidding.
Joe McDonald.
They were waiting on funds the next day. There was nothing. There was nothing bad about that trip.
That is unfortunate for specifically you, but honestly, it does feel better sometimes to not. I mean, it sucks that you just have the cards then that are worth nothing, but it is always kind of a bad feeling of just like, ooh, sorry, man. Didn't actually mean for that to happen.
You got lumped with it.
Yeah. Well, sometime after that, I started playing Black Wings, which I loved. It was around the time when Norden was released. And you could just play this really awesome OTK build of Black Wings that would quite consistently be able to beat you turn two, just with OTKing, not with negates or anything like that.
That's the first time I've ever heard someone say Black Wings are viable in Duelist Alliance format.
Well, you'd be thinking after 2015, 16, kind of the introduction of Assault Black Wings.
Yeah, it was about 2017 that I was.
Oh, okay. You had the good ones, like Samoon.
No, Samoon was way newer. You're thinking Rakiri and Nothung and. Yeah.
Pretty much that, and I had a pretty consistent build that could pump out one Crystal Wing as well as a Hawk Tamer Joe and either a another level 7 Synchro as well, depending on what you had, and you could even go further than that if you had a Norden an instant fusion in hand. So yeah, I won. There were two. There's a weekend where we had two LLDSs down in Dunedin, which I got to top two on the first weekend. I lost to Mermails in the finals. And then there was the next day, which I won. Oh, it was the next week, sorry. There was one on each week. And the next week, no one traveled for it, and I won that one.
You went, we're done here. Yeah.
You're a prize contributor to New Zealand's classic habit of a absolutely left-field, terrible deck winning every regional for some reason.
Yeah.
Large-scale competitive events.
It was just like, black wings, come on. Yeah. Although the temptation is there right now with Adventure and all the engine stuff to just take Adventure DPE Volcanics to a regional and top with just the Adventure DPE stuff and be like, look, Volcanics. It's just, come on. Yeah. Black Wings. It's Crystal Wing plus a 7 Synchro. I mean, it's Black Wings, right?
Yeah. You know?
It's kind of Black Wings. They were on the board at some point.
Yeah. No, it was lots of fun though. There was a regional I went to in Christchurch at a point, which James McIntyre was playing this Herald Necroz deck, which seemed really consistent, and I was kind of blown away by how consistent it was. where it would just consistently pump out, you know, the exact amount of Furies you'd need in Grave for Archlord Christia after searching it at the end of the combo as well. So, and, you know, and obviously Herald is like infinite negates, essentially, as long as you've got the stuff in your hand. So I started playing that, and that was lots of fun. Like I shared one of those Facebook memories to the Dunedin Yu-Gi-Oh! Facebook group a couple days ago. Where I topped 8 a regional at Wellington Armageddon with it, but in the sideboard I just didn't side deck at all. So it just had all it had 80% vanillas in the sideboard.
I'm looking at the list, right? 3 sphere mode. Then we got a 7 colored fish, 3 beaver warrior, a Moki Moki.
Judgman.
A Trent.
Is that a psychic kappa?
When did you find that Moki Moki was better to side in over Trent? Like, what matchups did you prefer that one?
Yeah, no, I can't. That deck was so, like, the specific, like, ratios of all those cards and everything were so, like, necessary. It was almost impossible to do any siding. I think Gamma probably would be the only card I sided out.
They just did Gishki FTK on History of Yu-Gi-Oh! And it had a one card side deck. It was just one Heavy Storm because you couldn't take out any of the main deck. It was just all draw spells and Gishkis. Yeah. It's like, you'd put in the one Heavy Storm for going second and take out, like, an upstart. That was it.
One question I've got to ask is why no Jerry Beansman in the side?
That's true.
Yeah, I think I was traumatized by the horrible jokes that came out around the release of Jerry Beansman in Battle Pack 3. Yeah, these are just weird Dunedin in jokes, guys.
I mean, he has a lot of potential, you know.
There's literally a Sonic Duck in there that's the same card essentially.
Yeah. Actually, Jerry Beansman has 50 more attack, so technically, superior side deck choice.
So we see you've done a lot of hard yards in the community. It seems like you started very close to around that time that Joe was, so like pre-2014, and then like jumping into the group and then seeing kind of your success within the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community, you know, casually, competitively, and establishing this kind of environment that's a bit more down south. And I think, to be honest, a place that people might not immediately recognize, you know, beyond Christchurch, because that's really where a hub of competitive people lie. And so what's like driven you, what then drove you from taking, you know, this immense, you know, this adoration towards the game to this, obviously this next step of where you are now in considering a business and, you know, funding an environment for people to play?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've always been really passionate about making sure that we've got a really good, you know, environment, or just really well-run events and stuff like that. Like, Peter always did a good job with his events for the most part. But there'd be times where, specifically, I think that, like, that Christchurch tournament I was just referencing to you guys, I believe, that was, like, that... Oh, maybe it wasn't that one, but there have been numerous Christchurch events over the years from certain business owners that I have been really dissatisfied with, and I've just thought this is not actually that difficult to do a really well run event where all of your players are comfortable. So when in 20 oh, must have been I can't remember specifically when YGO singles shut down and whatnot, but it would have been around 2017 or 2018, I think.
Yeah, I think
we're still planning the Patreon only YGO singles episode with Keza.
Yeah, at some point.
That's the one that we can't put up on YouTube.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But yeah, it was around, like, Peter started having a couple of issues while he was running things with Hobbyco and YGO singles, and he ended up deciding to call it quits. So at that point, it became, what are we going to do now? And I know Megazone, who's another store, kind of store down here, they were, like, the owner of that was, you know, had been made aware of the situation and was interested in taking on Yu-Gi-Oh! At the store. So I said to Peter that if anyone, you know, wants to start taking this on, that I'd be keen to do it. So he got, like, the owner of Megazone got in touch with me and got chatting, and I started running things there. I was at that point working at a convenience store chain down here, which I was pretty dissatisfied with. And that kind of led to me getting a job just behind the counter, not doing anything game store related at Megazone. And it wasn't actually until, so YGO Singles shut down, or they announced they were shutting down. So it must have been 2018, because I'm pretty sure I was studying at that point. Well, I definitely was studying at that point. I was studying business management. I was just in my first semester, and they were doing some leadership paper where I can't remember specifically what it was about, but for whatever reason, my task I think it was to do with communicating with leaders in our lives or something like that. And I spoke to my lecturer and I just said, what if I were to pitch something to a leader in my life? And they thought that was an awesome idea. So I ended up pitching, seeing that there was an opportunity in the market now that YGO Singles was gone to do YGO Singles. I pitched to the owner of Megazone to start doing singles as a business, and I would do it all myself and make it all work. And that was good. So that happened. I did that and it went really well. But after a while, it started becoming clear that he was going to struggle to actually pay me properly for my time. Mm-hmm. So I suggested, well, why don't I just go and do this myself? I'll do my own singles website, and I can still run all the events and stuff here, but I'll be I'll be reaping the rewards from all the work, and all you have to do is I'll pay you guys for the stock and you provide it to me. And they weren't keen for that idea. They were obviously, they kind of had aspirations to do that stuff themselves, but they felt like they needed me to do that. So that's when they offered me a promotion. So I became officially the assistant game store manager. And I decided to just take a break from my course at that point. So I figured full-time work and full-time study isn't really going to mesh well, and I'm probably just going to stress myself out. So I decided to do that. I took a break from the course. I committed to just doing the job. But after a while, there was, due to my own personal, frustrations, I decided to stop doing that and start planning to do it myself. Mm. And that's when I started planning Dice Jar Games, and I quit my job at Megazone, started working for a supermarket, and started doing courses to get Dice Jar Games up and running.
It's a real mailroom to your own firm kind of story. You actually did pretty much every job in a card store before you owned one.
Yes, somewhat. It was I got that experience on the job for sure, and I'm definitely very happy with the decision I've made. It's a lot more satisfying doing this for yourself than it is doing it for other people.
Just one thing I want to briefly touch on. Why the name Dice Jar Games? I mean, I know the story, but other people might not.
Joe and I were previously part of a team called Team Dice Jar, and that the name of that team kind of originated with a friend of ours who was also part of the team. Callum McLeod, oftentimes when you travel to an event, the best part of the event is often the trip with your mates.
And, oh yeah.
Not so much the playing Yu-Gi-Oh aspect. Our friend Callum decided to come up for the trip, but he didn't have a deck, so he decided to put together just a random deck that he'd made on, it was Yu-Gi-Oh! 5D's Decade Jewels. It was an arcade game on the Xbox 360.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it was just a dice jar deck. So he did that. I think he almost didn't win a single game, but he managed to go up against, I think it was a full-powered BA deck in the last round. And he somehow managed to, if it wasn't a win, it was a draw. Like, he didn't lose it.
Yeah.
And we just thought that was hilarious. So
he rolled a six. I mean,
he literally just had like every card in his deck was just to do with dice rolls.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, like that six. So if it didn't land on a one or a six, you re-rolled or something. Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was the definition of a meme deck. And it was just a good time. So yeah,
and that's,
I decided
and
to make it the
that's
namesake.
That's the namesake.
So yeah, after his namesake. Smashing success, he thought, "Oh, that's the perfect thing to pull my score."
Yeah, so, no, I just thought it was funny. I don't know. So that's that became the team name, and then after a while, I was starting to think of what to call the store, and I thought, "Well, why don't I just call it, Dice Jar Games? Like, call it after the team, the history we've had with, camaraderie and whatnot."
And do you feel comfortable disclosing your exact stake in dice jars in the country, or is that a more private matter on the total copies of Dice Jar that you own?
I don't
the
actually
cards,
have
not
that.
The store.
I don't know. Like, I don't think.
What's your share?
I don't think I actually have that many dice jars. Like, I think it's like like 15 dice jars, maybe, or 18 dice jars.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like, compared to got like two pages. It's like two pages of a binder, probably.
Yeah, about the same as your Maxi collection.
Yeah, does it? Well, I think I might have more Maxis.
Yeah.
If I can find the two that we own before we come down, I'll give them to you when I arrive.
Maxis or dice jars?
Dice jars.
One of those is more expendable than the others.
I'll swap them for Maxis if you're down.
Yeah.
No, not so keen for that.
Oh, devastating. So yeah, you've seen this natural progression into a store. And so what was the process like for you developing the store and kind of finding the correct location and, you know, getting all the paperwork up and coming? Because I think a lot of people in the community will go, oh, it's pretty easy opening singles and just like vending. But what is the reality behind it? You know, what is actually behind the curtain?
Well, I guess just while it's kind of on topic, I'd say I wouldn't describe doing singles as even close to being an easy job. That's a very mind-numbing task. But yeah, I mean, the process, it's kind of tricky to describe. Like, I started doing a course through a company down in Dunedin called Startup Dunedin. So the course I was doing was Co-Starters, and it's just a group of people trying to start up businesses and just going over all the different areas and aspects that, you know, you need to have covered to be able to actually launch your own business. And a lot of the areas I'd already covered, but there was a lot of very valuable information I got from doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, for me, it was just a simple task of finding a location, which obviously I say simple task, it didn't end up being quite so simple, but yeah, finding a location. I knew I wanted decent branding. And you know, like the colors, for example, like I knew I wanted the brand to represent community. So I've put the colors of the store are yellow and blue, and that's Dunedin, that's Otago colors. So it's kind of representative of focus on community. I knew that I wanted a really decent location, like a decent, like had to be on George Street, and it had to be a decent size so that I could fit, you know, a large group of people in there on a weekly basis. And so I found the space that I'm in now, and that actually, I wasn't actually going to go for it because it was really ratty and gross when I first viewed it. Like I looked at the shape of it, and I really loved the shape of it because it would kind of, there was enough space, and there's my Joe knows what I'm talking about, but
yeah,
in my store there's kind of like two sections, like it's a one open space, but there's like two kind of sections of the room, and yeah, there's one room that fits all the gaming area, and the other space has the retail, and I could see that immediately. I really liked the shape of it, but I didn't. Yeah, it was just really gross, really ratty, and I was kind of really eager to get the store opened as soon as possible. So there was a space available in the space next to the location that I was looking at, and you know, it was not probably I could see the space like as a game store. Not as I didn't think it was as great of a space as the previous as like the you know the room next door, but it required way less work, and it was for a comparable price. So that's generally it was, and there was, you know, better sunlight and stuff like that. And yeah, so that's what I was like going to do. I was really wanting to go for that space, and it got to the point where we were negotiating with the landlord or the property managers, and yeah, I thought it was at a point where they were going to send me the contract, and literally like 2 days later after I think I'd gone and announced that we were opening at a certain date because like it looked like it was going to work. And yeah, like 2 days later I get an email, and it's from like the middleman, and they've said, oh, they've actually decided to sign this to somebody else. And I was like,
wow,
yeah, what the heck, what are you like you guys were sending me the contracts, what changed, like what's happened? So it basically turned out that I was negotiating and these other people weren't negotiating. So they got a better deal through these other people.
How it goes, I guess. That's right.
Yeah, that's cut through a business.
Someone else is just like, oh, it literally was, I'll pay more. It's like when you list a card and you're like, oh, it's sold. And they're like, how much? I'll pay more.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Jesus. Didn't realize that happened with rep property as well.
Yeah, yeah. But so that happened. So that left me looking for other areas, and I had to announce that we were, you know, having to push back the opening date and all that sort of stuff. I think at this point I've opened the website, but I'm just doing like really badly written news articles and stuff. And yeah, so I start looking at other tenancies because I I start to think it's probably not a good idea for me to try and negotiate with this person again and the other tenants here. But everywhere else is twice as expensive and not as good of a space. So what I end up doing is, you know, negotiating again for that other space, but there's, you know, there's so much wrong with it. Like, there were no lights in it. There's no sort of ventilation. The walls were disgusting. Like, they'd have to have a real thorough wash, and the carpet was ratty and gross.
You know what they did there before? Was it like a brothel? What
was it was a video gaming place.
So, like an ICAF sort of thing.
It was called Video Game Club, and they just had of computers and stuff set up.
Just had that gamer stink all over it.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Jesus.
But yeah, so I started negotiating again with these people for that space, and they tried to pull the same shit with me, at the last second, and I just thought it was a bluff, and it was a bluff, because they said to me after I'd finished negotiating all of this stuff, they say to me, "Oh, he's actually got someone else interested, and they're interested in it without the lights." And I just called complete bullshit. I was like,
"No,
there's no fucking way." No, am I allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Yeah. We're about 20 minutes.
I said, "There's no fucking way that anybody is happy to take this place on without lighting."
Like, yeah, maybe it was a brothel. I mean, a single person. It's a humble sex club opening on George Street.
Yeah. I just started, you know, applying the pressure a bit, and I just said, "Look, if you don't give me, you know, if we can't come to an arrangement in the next 2 days, I'm making an offer on a place across the street." And yeah, you know, I didn't want to have to do that, because I think this place across the street was like three times the rent. Yeah. But yeah, that was what we needed to come to a finish. I mean, so
just quickly, like, it's come a long way from obviously that point, because when I was there, I definitely didn't think the store was ratty at all. It's been set up in a way where, you know, you've obviously refurbished the place, you've given it like its own character as well now, and it comes across as a really cool game store, which actually
kind of conveniently brings us to one of the reasons we brought Greg on is the regional next week.
Yes.
We wanted to talk about it because we want to let everyone know it's happening. You can still book tickets. Dino specifically, buy tickets, stop being lazy. I don't know if he wants to play.
Please, everyone, buy tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We wanted to have a quick chat maybe with Greg, Joe, and the pod about Yu-Gi-Oh, because we have, you know, an obligation, I guess, to talk about that card game.
Mm-hmm.
And because Albers is not going to be legal, I don't think.
No.
At this moment in time, I would say it won't be available.
It's feeling a little sus, right? Because it hasn't arrived yet. So it would be very, very difficult. Maybe a couple people have it from Oz, and that would just be not fair. So in saying that, we're still stuck in like the previous format. What do you guys expect? Maybe who do you expect to bring what? We could just do some predictions about the regional coming.
And Greg, yeah, what do you think about your player base and those people who are in your store? Do you anticipate success from, you know, your local players?
I'd like to think so. Like, I know they've gone to a number of events outside of Dunedin and had a, you know, decent amount of success in those events. So I'd like to think we can get at least a 50%, showing for Dunedin in the top eight.
Yeah, nice. That's a bit cool.
Hopefully that's not wishful thinking, but I know that I'm pretty confident that my Dunedin players can hold their own. But there are obviously they don't have to go up against Auckland players a lot of the time, so I don't know what the competitive scene's like up there. I assume it's pretty competitive.
Yeah, strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Connor's going. I assume he'll be playing Adventure Prank Kids because he always does. Yeah. Same as Giles if he's going down. Jordan Grace probably going to be on some variety of Dragons, if not Live Twins, but probably Dragons. Dino will. G-Man as well. Dino, if he plays, will be probably jamming some kind of
Despia doll.
Despia something, I guess. Kind of playing the budget Albers before that comes out.
The Chimera Control kind of.
Yeah. But overall, I expect, because it's Dunedin and because it's not attracting, like, I don't think dozens of Auckland players are going. It's only a handful of the dedicated few that travel for everything, like G-Man. Jesus Christ, G-Man, how do you afford it? But I guess, what do you expect from Dunedin from a deck perspective? What do you see down there that you maybe don't see in Auckland?
Yeah, that's tricky. I kind of have to get people to remind me what they're playing every week. So this is kind of tough.
I've been watching your weekly streams, and I mean, I've seen some pretty cool decks being played. I've seen like a Dino FTK deck. I've seen, there was a Yost Engine one the other week. There was, obviously, Troy is on Adventure Pranks on the stream. There's a couple of Floanderies, I think, down there as well.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, from watching the stream, I've been seeing some pretty competitive games down there. So, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing what the Dunedin players bring.
There's also those meta contenders like Abyss Actors and Skull Servants. And... So yeah, you never know. You could get anything in Dunedin, to be fair. So
we do have the potential of the Battle of the Pranks if South Island Andrew Dudson decides to show up with the deck. It would be fun if him and Connor could end up, you know, maybe in the same bracket. Wink, nudge. at one point during the stream.
Because, you know, KTS is just such a crazy software. Yeah, because, I just don't know how.
Because before Connor kind of started becoming like the pranky boy as his brand, I just thought of Dudson as like, that guy plays some prank kids every event. He pretty much won every event that he played it. So it would be fun to see that if he is coming. I'm not sure if he is.
I think he is. Yeah, there's quite a large Christchurch group that are coming down to the regional.
I hope we get to see that.
Yeah.
I feel like they should gentlemen's out of adventure if they end up in the mirror. They should just be like, you know what? Real ass prank mirror, let's go.
And then they side in. So they'll be like,
they do the thing where you have a full adventure package in your side deck. So you're like, oh yeah, I'll side it out. And then you put it in.
Yeah.
Like the old djinn back in Necroz format.
I think we're kind of expecting some big numbers though from this regional. I mean, I was down there obviously for the Sands charity tournament and the multi format in June last year.
It was May, wasn't it?
Around May or June. Yeah, it was around mid year time.
Yeah.
It was cold because I got stuck there in that snowstorm. So I remember that was like almost a 49 or 50 player event. And I think we're probably going to see similar numbers again the next weekend. This weekend coming.
So that's exciting.
I'm really looking forward to seeing everyone going down there.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait to catch up with everybody.
And
any snap thoughts on what's going to win?
What
would you put money on?
I guess Adventure Prank Kids was the one you probably got to bet on, right?
Yeah, I think so too. But another question, another thing we haven't really touched on was the multi-format. You've obviously got that going on the Friday night. And I played in your first multi-format event. What kind of gave you the idea behind multi-format? And did Konami pay you any money once they took your idea?
No. I don't claim to... I don't claim to even be the originator of this. Like this is a conversation
that
I had with Keza. I had a conversation with Keza about how I think at that point I was talking about how I wanted to play like a 2017 format so that I could play aforementioned Blackwing OCK deck. Keza just got to chatting about retro formats and doing an event that could do, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And that basically led to me putting it into, actually putting it into action and doing the event. And I mean, like it's my belief that the game of Yu-Gi-Oh kind of changed quite drastically from 2015 onwards. I feel like the game plan of most decks became very similar. You know, you kind of want to just prevent your opponent from playing. Whereas back in 2014 and before, that's not how I would describe it. To be fair, Shadol did have Winder, so I'll give.
But it wasn't the key card at the time, though, right? It was more around Construct, yeah.
Yeah, Construct was the big boss of that deck, you know. BA there was no trying to prevent. Oh, I suppose they had Fire Lake, but that wasn't it's not the same interruption.
It's not a negate.
It's not negating. And that's generally, you know, 2015, what happened? Well, it was Necroz. Necroz had the Djinn lock.
Towers Turbo,
pretty much the only deck with negates in that entire format was Telenites, and you couldn't even search it. It just happened to be a really good counter trap.
Yeah,
Everything else just kind of floated.
Yeah. So I kind of thought, why not just run an event where you don't have to worry about, you know, about not going past turn two. Just, you know, it's old time rules. All the decks play with, you know, the rules of their old format. So if you're, I think it was, is it March 2014? I think the drawing on the first turn rules changed, or maybe it was June or something.
Yeah, around that.
It was Duelist Alliance, I believe, was exactly the set that changed it. But yeah, and you go backwards further than that, you think of like priority being taken away.
Yeah.
There's heaps of different stuff that just gets, the older you go back.
Field centers.
Oh, and of course.
Sorry,
field barriers. Field spells.
Yeah. And of course, paved with good intentions. You show up to one of these multi-format events, you know, I'm so excited to play the game. You know, don't want to win on turn two. Sit down, shake your opponent's hand. They're like, yeah, cool, man. Activate Spellbook of Secrets. And you're like, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah. Spellbooks is definitely one to watch out for.
Yeah. Not quite as bad as Jhin Nekros, but it's pretty much the same. It's the same feeling of just like, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
That's Jaugen. Very fair. Yeah, just getting out Jaugen, each turn. I definitely understand where you're coming from there. We might do some stuff for future. If it proves to be a problem with this one, then might make some changes for future multi-format events.
It's tough, because do you want to play multi-format, or do you want to play like a sculpted format, right? Because it's very tempting to sort of start cutting decks from the format, like, well, we could probably get rid of spellbooks. It's pretty uninteractive. And like, if we get rid of that, we should probably get rid of Dragon Rulers because it's really powerful and hard to counter. And then like all of a sudden you just start cutting out every deck you don't like, and then it's just like, yeah, we're still going to play Shadol Mirrors, that's it. And that doesn't feel exactly as fun as like, hey, bring any deck you like, you know, everything's viable. There is certainly though a little bit of imbalance, I think, specifically with side decks, I think we talked about once.
Yes.
Where back in the day when spellbooks existed, there were just so many random cards people played to beat the Jaugen lock, and if you get rid of that ability to side for what is essentially the most oppressive deck of the format that can just lock you out of playing, it's way harder to beat it. Whereas, you know, if you were allowed to put in, I don't know, puppet plants or, you know, random things that like beat the lock, then you're in a little bit of a better place. So I think that might be a solution, as opposed to just banning spellbooks, because people have max rarity spellbooks and want to play them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know,
people like Ruben.
Yeah, well, me and Joe were discussing things like that not too long ago. I'd already announced the multi format at that point, and I don't want to make changes after announcing it. I'd like to just see how it goes, and you know, if there are obvious issues with this specific event, then we can make changes for future ones.
Yeah, begrudgingly, you don't have FTK's legal, which is a necessary evil.
Begrudgingly. I can't believe we're not allowed to FTK people.
Restricting people from doing, you know, living their truth. I mean, come on.
Hand traps, we don't want those, but FTKs.
Another thing I'd like to touch on as well would be, obviously, one of the standout things for me when I came down to Dunedin was your streaming setup. And also the quality of like the commentary. what sort of gave you the motivation for that? And like, because I guess you're probably one of the only stores in New Zealand that has those sorts of facilities.
Yeah. You might remember, Joe, back in the day, I started becoming somewhat interested in doing some sort of streaming. You remember I bought that real budget when I was still a student. Well, that real That's budget right. webcam and started trying to do stuff with that. I don't know. It's just an area that's always interested me, I guess. Like I've got no aspirations for fame or anything like that. I find it really satisfying what being able to, like, you know, like same reason I run the events, I guess. Like it's really awesome when you have put all your time and effort into something. It goes smoothly. It goes, runs well. Everybody leaves happy. And then you know, being able to actually go back and watch that and see, you know, everything going well, like seeing the, you know, the high quality of the stuff that you've been working with. I don't know. I just find a really, really big sense of satisfaction. And I think,
I'd agree. Yeah. Cause I mean, even
kind of harkens back to the,
Yeah, the multi-format, when you guys were commentating on my game when I was on stream, it's something that I've gone back and watched multiple times when I've activated my Allure of Darkness into the Shadol Fusion that everyone's seen, you know.
Yeah. And like, oh, that was a cool-ass moment.
And that's awesome. But that's, yeah, It's been captured,
I
though.
Out in the store. Yeah. I freaked out in the store. And
I remember. Yeah. I heard Greg behind me go, "Oh!" Yeah.
Because we spent the entire, I think we were like watching the wind-up player hand loop you and going,
perfectly, by the way. Yeah, well, as if that man had just not dropped the dicks since it was relevant.
He did it perfectly, except he'd never played against Shadols. Mm. And we spent the entire time yelling at him like, "Tribute the Zen Mighty. What are you doing? Don't just end on a bunch of Xyz monsters. You're going to draw in a Shadol fusion." And then it happened and we were like, "Oh, it actually happened. We're so fucking smart."
But that was
an awesome
caption. Yeah. And like that, as you say,
do you remember?
No,
I remember.
Kieran O'Leary.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm hoping he might show up for this one. I know he's friends with Roger Yan in Dunedin.
Yeah.
I hope he's Red Shadol Fusion this time. I'm sure he did after that moment. He went back and watched it too.
I think that match. I think that match is an awesome example of like what makes multi-format so fun, right? Mm. Like, that's not a match you would ever think of. Like, no one ever
had to worry about Shadol Fusion in wind-up format. It wasn't a thing.
Yeah, and like you thought it was all over for Joe at that point, right? And then he top-decked the exact card he needed to be able to stay in the game and eventually win it.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to want it, right? Just say, "Oh, I want Shadol Fusion." You draw it. It's that easy.
Yeah, we'd like to take a moment to talk about manifestation.
I'm big on it. I think you just got to think the card you want and you draw it. You never draw driver if you just try to draw gamma.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's right, though. Like, being able to go back and watch things is super cool. And I'm really, really, really excited to come down and do the commentary
on this regional. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, looking forward, I think we've talked about on podcasts, I've never been this far south in New Zealand. I think the furthest I've been was Wanaka. So I look forward to actually being in an environment that's, known for a relatively active Yu-Gi-Oh scene and kind of right in between the two other hubs being Christchurch and Invercargill. My job in particular is quite unique. I interact with basically every store in the country, and it's really cool seeing this this web of communication and player travel that happens so frequently, especially in this particular environment in New Zealand, where there aren't as many game stores per city. I think Auckland has 7 for the city, whereas Christchurch have maybe 2. I think Christchurch, Dunedin, and Invercargill are like a maximum 2.
Yep.
I mean, Invercargill's got 1. Dunedin's technically got 2, but one of them doesn't carry Yu-Gi-Oh now. Christchurch has probably 2 that do Yu-Gi-Oh, but it has still got a couple more that don't carry Yu-Gi-Oh.
So they don't carry Yu-Gi-Oh after we bought out all their Sky Striker ultis
time. Thanks. Thanks, Megazone. That was a great profit on my part. I think realistically, though, we are looking forward to this event. We're looking forward to the amount of travel that people will be undertaking. Are there any names that you've heard in particular that you're excited to see in person, meet for the first time? Obviously, you have access to store registration, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I find people don't use store registration all that often, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly, I'm just excited to see everybody. Like, I haven't I haven't ran a regional now in 3 years. Like, my last regional was my last day at Megazone in 2018.
Oh, wow. You've never had one at Dice Jar?
No, well, what? I mean, I signed my lease in the beginning of March, and then we hit COVID literally the next week. Like, level 4 lockdown was week after I signed my lease.
Yeah, so rough. Yeah.
So it's been a really rough 2 years for the store, like we, we were in level 4 for, 6-7 weeks, and then we used level 3 to get the store actually all set up, all the shelving put on the walls, all the walls tidied up, carpets tidied up, the heat pump installed, lighting installed, getting the fridge delivered, and all the Coke products and all the other products. And
I mean, thank God you did the e-commerce stuff first.
Yeah.
I felt like you established Dice Jar Games as a pretty decent single store right out the gate. So
I remember making a good couple of orders store's inception.
When's that Ulti Shadol Construct coming, Greg? I did buy it. The one that you put up for 50 cents.
Yeah, that's rough.
Teething and growing pains. Yeah.
But definitely Dice Jar, I think, it's one of the 3 places I kind of rush to from New Zealand that just has singles whenever I'm looking for a card.
We actually don't anymore. We're not doing
it. I know. Anymore. You took it down, and I miss it.
I did, yeah. It's just, I'm a one-person show, and I just really struggle to keep time. Up with, yeah. with doing okay. it.
It's so a, much it's a
massive,
time.
Massive undertaking.
Even selling, like, 3 or 4 cards every month is, like, I've got a job, you know? I got to find time for it, and that's
even
difficult.
Opening a case of product for personal use is a lot of time. Like, yeah. you go through large amounts. I can't even imagine. I mean, I think I did it once for Will
yeah.
when he ordered Hidden Arsenal Chapter 1. He's like, oh, can you break down some displays at work? And I said, oh, sure, that's not going to take too much time. 2 days.
yeah.
2 days
yeah.
of my office time breaking down.
I mean, I'd do it, but...
It's yeah. so much work. And I think yeah. people, you know, it's something that maybe people just don't appreciate is the amount of effort and time that goes into
oh, yeah.
the,
yeah.
you know, correctly sorting, listing, and, you know, the softwares that people use. It's
and also the difficulty with Yu-Gi-Oh! In particular with singles. So yeah. few of the cards are in demand that it's so much yeah. effort to just make a sale of like 200 total cards. It's not like mm-hmm. other games where you can kind of sell bulk sets of commons for $5 or...
yeah,
promos like, or tokens or anything like that.
Yeah,
it's been difficult as a store starting up as well. Over the last 2 years, like there hasn't really been room for growth in the market these last 2 years. Like,
not yet.
Not yet. Maybe, but I mean, there's
out
also
of COVID.
Like, there's being in the bottom of the South Island. You're at a huge disadvantage because you've got to wait. Like you are the last people in the country to receive your stock. You know, like
yeah,
like Shuffling Cart and Card Merchant Hamilton, they'll have their stock within a day and they'll start opening up, putting their pre-orders up, and be able to do all that. And so
it means you have to take the risk of like selling cards you don't have,
exactly.
and then
yeah.
you're out of the problem of if you get yeah. undersupplied, you have to fulfill orders somehow, and that gets complicated.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there isn't any room for growth. You need to order like thousands of dollars of stock, yeah. or else you can't actually provide the service properly.
Well, I think what you're doing with events is what matters, because since you are one of the only stores in the South Island, you are going to get more people because by nature there's less choice. You know, yes. they don't have 7 different stores trying to vie for their attention. There's one.
Yeah.
And I think Joe said that too about Palmy, is that yeah, it doesn't make the most money, but it gets 20 people a hobby. Which yeah. is yeah, about as right. much as an Auckland store.
The
gets.
Nearest place is a 2-hour drive to Wellington.
So yeah, I'm happy to hear that you're at least able to open up again. Like, COVID is pretty much gone.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Must be nice to and, just have you know, that off your back.
Looking at other areas too as well, like we're trying to do the pack break streams and stuff like that when on release of sets and stuff like that. So hoping that goes all right. We've got the Ghost from
again,
the bus
if you want to ship us up some cases, we'll do some.
Yeah.
We'll do some for the base down.
I'll take him home from work and, you know, just bring
yeah,
him,
actually.
Ship him down.
Well, we should talk about this off the podcast.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. I think in terms of like product and business, you know, development, it's really fascinating. And I guess, you know, another question, you've been in the game so long, what has been your opinion of product as of late? I think, you know, when you started and around the same time that Joe was, product in general seemed to be a bit more in demand, or like there wasn't as much being opened. But how has your opinion changed on that, you know, becoming a store owner, seeing the market shift?
I still think there's work to be done with Yu-Gi-Oh! Product. Being exposed to various other TCGs since I've opened the store, I have become a bit more aware that Yu-Gi-Oh! Product is very, very top-heavy. Almost unreasonably so. Like, a lot of other games, they have a lot more... you know, cards that people actually want to pull in, you know, regular circulation, like usable cards. Whereas I feel like a lot of the cards, a large portion of sets these days, I feel are not very usable.
I noticed when I was working that we had quite a few customers come in and want like, oh, yeah, I love Yu-Gi-Oh! I played it when I was a kid. Like, what should I get? And that's a really tough question because... You could lead them like, oh, I'll get Burst of Destiny and get a bunch of support cards for really expensive, high rarity decks that don't contain any references to the anime or characters that you will recognize. Or you could open like King's Court and get all the Jack, Queen, King, Joker Knight stuff, but they're worthless. And, you know, a lot of that stuff isn't very good. And it also still plays like modern Yu-Gi-Oh! So it won't really appeal to you. And it just gets so complicated when it comes to like, the randoms, which I think make up a large part of sales, at least when I was working. It's not just TCG players.
Yeah, I tell you what I wish they'd do. I've been saying this for over a year now. I wish they'd do like a GOAT format draftable set. and I think they would just fly off the shelf. I think
that isn't speed duels.
So popular. Yeah, I don't. I'm not keen on this whole speed duel thing. I don't order any of it because it just doesn't sell for me. Might sell for other places around the country. That's awesome, but I mean, speed duels for me, that just doesn't go. Doesn't work.
Bit of a hard sell. Alt formats in general.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if they did a draftable GOAT format set, you could just literally have a card slot for various different like decks from that era, and like slots for generically good cards and stuff. Like, I honestly, like, I think that could fly off. I think it would be so successful.
Well, seeing obviously you've done this multi-format, you know, style event, and then seeing in America their adoption of the legitimate Time Wizard format, does that kind of instill hope into, you know, you and obviously to a greater extent Joe, of playing in an older time, that they're gonna, you know, attempt to revitalize an alternative format?
Maybe we'll see. I mean, no. I haven't
it's Konami.
I haven't really seen anything that convinces me that they're actually committing to doing these formats.
Yeah, like I have. If anyone can like propose an idea and then drop it immediately, it's Konami, and they've shown time and time again that they will put out a good thing and then just never touch it or talk about it again.
Yeah,
looking at you, Master Duel.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I would love to think that you know, that they're open to good ideas like that. I'm a little bit biased because obviously I've came up with the idea, but I don't know. I just think that, I don't know. I think they need to do a bit more work to actually convince me that they're committing to doing these other formats and they're actually going to do something good with them.
I mean, like, personally, I think
show me a YCS with Time Wizard. Show me a Time Wizard YCS.
Well, they tried once with Battle Pack in a YCS to do draft for Swiss, and that was a complete disaster.
I remember
Metal Pack was a terrible product, though.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
You know,
like, that's the thing. I just think like the only issue with alt formats, of course, is that they really want to focus on the one format that makes them the most money. And it's probably quite hard to talk them into like, oh, yeah, like do a GOAT format thing. Like these 10 people at every locals will love it and no one else will buy it. And that's just like a hard sell, even though you and I know that a ton of people would, you know, if they came into the store and said like, oh, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh back in the day, you'd be able to just hand them this thing.
As a GOAT like, pack,
yeah. Or even if it wasn't called GOAT, because that's like unofficial, it was just like, you know, the Yugi Moto Battle Coliseum or something, and you know, it's had all the cool
cards back in the day. That product, you call it the GOAT format draft.
You reckon?
Like, you know, yeah,
just legitimize the name.
I think why not? Like, yeah, just because it's been created by the fans doesn't mean that it's you know, not a suitable name for it, right?
Like, I mean, to be fair, honorary, you know, obligatory Magic the Gathering reference in every podcast. You know, Commander is like the main format of Magic now, and that's a fan-made format. So
tried to stop. They were like, "This, we don't want this to be a thing." And then, it was adopted.
They tried to like capitalism it by turning it into a rotating, controlled format. And everyone went, "No." It'd be like if Konami's like, "Okay, we're gonna do GOAT, but here's a new ban list we've made," and it banned like Delinquent Duo and all the like iconic GOAT cards, and people were just like, "Nah." We'll just keep playing GOAT. Don't even try it.
Thanks for the recognition, but that's about it.
All right. Final thoughts. Final thoughts. We're trying to cut down on the final thoughts segment.
And sometimes it's
what are the final thoughts? You know, final doesn't necessarily mean last. It can mean...
True.
There's two people in a finals.
That's true. There's six people in a finals of a soccer game. I don't know. I don't watch sports.
I don't play basketball. I think realistically, Greg, what is your biggest hope for this event taking part this weekend?
I just want a good turnout for my own satisfaction, and I want everyone to just have a good time and for Dunedin to win.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it.
That's a fair.
All right. Joe, obviously, I think our next podcast will be recording after the event. So, what are your hopes for this upcoming weekend?
It's going to be a bit of a learning curve for me doing a commentary on an event. I've done like, you know, the one-off commentary on the North versus South Island Battle of the Islands we did. But apart from that, like, yeah, I haven't done too much else. But no, I'm really looking forward to doing that, giving that a good crack, and hopefully I can put on a good time for the stream.
Yeah. Lucas, what are you looking forward to in this weekend upcoming?
I'm looking forward to the after tournament flat. I think that's going to be fun. I think always a good time doing commentary, but this in particular will be fun because, you know, we'll be there, and I think capturing the electricity of an event as opposed to just being over Discord is
chalk and cheese.
Yeah, it's ideal, right? It's the way to be. And obviously copying a little bit of the YCS style. It sounds like I want to wear a suit, you know? I want to like I want to like make it real, you know?
I think the camera's a bit more zoomed in than the YCS, but yeah, I think apart
I'm gonna
from
wear a suit anyway.
Wear a suit.
Just in case. You never know.
And I think for me, I'm looking forward to actually heading down, experiencing Dunedin, meeting Greg again. I think we've only met like a handful of times, seeing the South Island environment, and, you know, speaking with some more of the players that I don't think we would have the chance to as Aucklanders, because again, the distance is, you know, pretty vast. And I think that there's, you know, a lot of hopes. I think people are excited to see in-person play return. Yeah. And again, the prizes are stunning. You know, amazing Illusion of Chaos mats and those amazing like blush pink deck boxes for the top cut. And you know, people want competitive. People are excited, and I think people are ready. And what better place to head to than Dice Jar?
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
One other question for you, Greg. What's the current temperature like down there at the moment, just for the people traveling?
That's a good point.
Bring a jacket.
Yeah.
What kind of jacket?
Because a jacket here and a jacket there mean different things.
Bring a warm jacket.
Okay. Bring a warm jacket. You heard that, everybody.
Heard that. Greg condones fur. Yeah.
And if you do die of exposure, it's Greg's fault.
Yeah.
You can email nicejargames at... All right.
Fabulous. Well, so thank you so much to everyone who has listened with us today, and a special shout out to Greg for joining us today.
Very last minute.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you for taking the time out of your Easter Monday to hop on here and speak with us. If you enjoy what you're listening to, and if you're listening along on YouTube, please feel free to like, comment, and subscribe. Share it with your friends. It helps a lot. If you're listening on your podcasting app, please feel free to leave a review and a rating. You can email us with any questions, queries, comments, and concerns at thefacedowns@gmail.com, and our Twitters will be linked in the YouTube description below. For Greg, where can people find you and all the content you create?
Yeah, well, you can find our website is dicejargames.com. That is under construction right now and probably will continue to be under construction for the next probably month, because I got a lot of work to do on that. So yeah, keep an eye out for that over the next month. You can check out our videos on our Facebook page, Dice Jar Games, and on YouTube at Team Dice Jar. And I believe that's pretty much everything that we use. Or us on Instagram, Dice Jar Games.
Amazing. And yeah, so feel free to check out Greg, give him a follow on the team social medias, and be sure to join us next Saturday. This Saturday, the 23rd, quick doing date checks, the 23rd of April, New Zealand time. I believe we're starting at 10 or 11.
11, I believe.
11. We'll be there at 11 o'clock giving you live commentary of the Dice Jar Games Season 2 Battle of Chaos Regional. And as always, thank you so much for listening. My name is Ruben.
I'm Lucas.
And I'm Joe.
And you have been listening to The Face Downs.
I thought I'd be delayed that time too.